Coming down in 3, 2, 1. And we are back at the Not Butler Cabin for the Capital Golf Gang Emergency Edition. Post round 3, 2024 Masters. We are presented as always, and of course, by Golfdom and Worldwide Golf. Myself, John Ronis, John Gould. We have ourselves a Sunday on tap that could be awesome. I say could be because of Scheffler. If Scheffler just does Scheffler-like things, he could put this thing in a headlock. Do we think we're ready for a knockdown, drag-out, all-out brawl Sunday, or is the new dominant player going to be dominant? Good evening, boys. How are we doing?
Fantastic. As John was saying before you came on, Zabe, he gave the statistics of, and he can repeat them, of where, how far back you have to be to win the Masters and how many come from the last group. And he narrowed it down, I believe, to 5 players. And I think you're absolutely right, John, on that. And you can give those statistics. But I think that I think Scheffler's game is not in Scheffler mode right now.
No, it's not.
I do think it's going to be really close.
You do? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so the stats, within 4 strokes of the lead the last 30 times the Masters, you had to be within 4 strokes of the lead. So there's 5 of those, including DeChambeau now, after he dunked the one on 18. And last group was 37 out of 40 or something like that, somebody from the last group. I think I might have butchered those, but something similar. And, yeah, so Scheffler is not on top of his game. But, man, when he lost it. He lost it bad there in the middle of the round. So it's a question of whether that happens again. I think if he doesn't, quote-unquote, lose it, where he, you know, had a double and a bogey back-to-back, which you never see, he's going to run away. But if you really think about it, the last 5, 6 years, you know, we've had a 3-stroke leader or more 4 or 5 times. So this is going to be way more energetic than the usual.
Really? So the last couple
years
we've
had. I will say, though, when we say
Hideki, Scheffler, Dustin Johnson, Scheffler.
And what,
you know, they all had 3-stroke
what was Rahm last year?
Rahm was not. I don't think Rahm was a runaway. But
right.
I'm criticizing Scheffler, but at the same time, when we say he lost it, he hit a ball right over the pin on 10. It was just too far, dead. He hit it over the green on 12. It's just too far, dead. And 11, he butchered with the putter, missing basically a foot and a half long putter, 2-foot long putt. So, I mean, he really didn't hit a ton of bad shots, but he does seem like he's not in complete control of the ball.
It was the putter too, right? You know, the putt on 10, the final putt on 10, and the putt on 11. You know, it just didn't feel like he was, you know, they were talking about it. He wasn't getting the putter square. He was either leaving it open or he was healing it and closing it.
Right. 10 was that short one.
And that's kind of the first time all week. And I'd seen the stats where last year he was like 170th or something in strokes gained putting. But this year he's 93rd, which is a huge move, right?
Yeah.
And he's dominating, only moving the needle halfway. If he can get it up into like the 50 range, good night.
What's happened this week is his approach shots have not been. He on the first round, of course, he did, but round 2 and 3, he lost ground to the field on approach, and that's not Scottie Scheffler. So that's
especially
front
9 par fives. That was
he went to the range.
Those are little flip wedges.
He went to the range afterwards. They showed it, and that's clearly something he's going to be working on. His irons. Strokes gained approach is terrible right now.
I'm staring at his 3 rounds right now on the leaderboard, 66, 72, 71. And the 66 from day one is just screaming at me because we're going to get a day that's better than the day round one. And I think that with, you know, today, look, he caught a flyer on 10 or whatever, made the ball go too long, just flushed it. Sometimes you hit these balls, the best players in the world hit the ball right on the boingo spot on these souped-up irons, and they go forever, and nobody knows why, right? So that was a bad break, and he had 2 lip-outs and 1 wonky stroke on 11. Otherwise, he's in total command yet again. So I think he's going to show up with his A game again tomorrow, and it's going to be a wrap. But that's just me.
He's the favorite. Right.
I hope it's an exciting day. But the fact he could stabilize after the double and then the bogey shows you what a baby-faced dog he is.
Yeah, and his look after his little fist pump on 18 and his look at his caddy, it showed this guy's not, like I wrote to you guys, he's a Bible-thumping assassin.
Bible-thumping assassin, right.
And he'll rip your heart out and then pray over you. So it's something that he's mean. And he's good.
Yeah, if Scotty does Scotty things and runs away with it, though, or at least gets, you know, a comfortable lead, I don't think it's the end of the world in terms of TV watching, because, you know, sometimes it's awesome to watch somebody be dominant, right? When everybody else, if everybody else struggles, because the greens were super fast, and, you know, Zabe was complaining a little bit on text today how he didn't like that. But, you know, to watch greatness is great, is awesome too, you know, to see somebody just be totally dominant is fun to watch. So,
do you know
the only thing is with, I'm sorry, Zabe, what John said today is he only has one major. And so even though we may be watching greatness and we may be rooting for greatness, so if he does pull ahead, we'll still be rooting for him. It's such in its infant stages. It's not like we're watching the eighth major or the ninth major or whatever. We're still just looking at number two.
Right.
Which and it's going to be at the same
place. You have to get to before you get to 4 and 5 and 6.
Yeah. Scheffler chipped in on one today for birdie, second chip in of this Masters tournament. Are you aware of his chip in bet with his caddy, Ted Scott?
I am.
Yeah. So, Ronis, he's got this chip in bet with his caddy where if he gets to 10 chip ins, his caddy, Ted Scott, wins the bet for the year. Scott smiled and flashed six fingers when he chipped in at the Players, meaning this is where we're at already. He's already chipped in six times on tour. Actually, 7-8 now. He's up to 8 with this tournament.
Yep.
Scheffler said last month, he goes, I got off to a slow start this year. I didn't hole out any until Riv, but I hit the ground running pretty quick after that. I think actually it was last year at this time where I got to 10. So now we're at 6, and hopefully we can keep the momentum rolling and get some of Teddy's money back in my pocket. They say it's an old caddy trick that's been done around, you know, Greller and Spieth do it as well. And Scott says it's like fishing where the fish thinks he's getting something. Because if his guy's chipping in, he's winning a ton of money, and the caddy's getting paid a lot.
Yeah, speaking of which, too, speaking of Ted Scott, this you know, if Scotty pulls it off, this will be his fourth green jacket for one of his players. So pretty impressive.
Wow. Did he was he on the bag for both of Bubba's?
Bubba, correct.
Wow, yeah. So anyway, nice. Scotty Scheffler, one shot lead over Colin Morikawa, who has found his iron game. He has been top five in irons every year since he turned pro for like four straight years, top five, two, three, four, whatever. And this year he's way down in like the low 70s. But this week he's top five again in iron play, and he seems to have figured out the putter with that claw grip. You said yesterday, Ronis, I'm not trusting a guy who's put a new putter in the bag. That well, here he is. Was that you?
I said he has no chance.
Yep. Okay.
I said he has no chance. I didn't even care about the putter. I just
was it you?
He just
Gould,
he's showing me nothing.
The putter. Yeah, I don't trust a guy. With
yeah,
the putter.
I don't trust a guy who's changing putters, but it worked today.
Well, all right. Well, here we are.
Yeah, I actually feel like Morikawa can win it now. I don't want him to win it. He does nothing for me, for the game or anything else.
Wow.
To grow the game. He's a little bit too dull for me. So, seems like an incredibly nice human being.
A more smiley Xander Schauffele. I'm more positive on Colin Morikawa, but that's just me.
I am positive on him. He seems like a great guy, but I need something. I need something
more than this.
But it's his third major if he wins.
Well, that's the thing. Okay, so am I wrong in discounting his two majors because they were no gallery and light gallery majors?
No, I don't think so.
Like nothing really stemmed from it. There was no excitement about it. And then, he's in the hunt again. Like Rory has four. Morikawa wins this. He's at three.
One of each, except the U.S. Open. Yeah.
But there's never a sense that Morikawa dominates.
Right.
Right?
No, he just flashes. He flashes he's for a flasher. An event. And,
right.
Yeah, that's right.
And so to speak.
Yeah. Kind of recedes back to the pack.
He's like the Marlins. He'll just get a World Series, crumble, rebuild, another World Series, crumble.
Okay.
So, yeah, it does seem like a flash.
In third is the Vibe King, Max Homa, who I'm pulling for tomorrow, but I don't know if he has it in him. He's two shots back at 5 under, will be in the second to last group with Oberg. More on him in a second. I mean, Homa, I realized, is the American Rory who hasn't ruined himself yet to me as a fan. If he just doesn't talk too much like Rory started to, Ronis, then I'm going to love Max Homa for a long time. He is the Vibe King. Super cool, chill, normal dude who's very appreciative of what he does for a living.
Yes, I agree with you. He seems to be a little bit of a personality, though. He steps on the golf course and becomes very subdued.
Well,
and then on Twitter and everything, he's hilarious and he's
right.
self-deprecating and things like that. So I think that's what we like most about him. But he seems to almost put himself in a slight trance out on the golf course. But I like Max Homa. I think, let's face it, those young guns, Max Homa, Morikawa, all those guys are really good for the game. I just want – you know, I just want rare excitement okay. to happen for the growth of the
right.
game.
He, so, you really gotta appreciate what he did today. He could get nothing going, couldn't make a putt to save
no.
his life, and shot one over. So he had one bogey and 17 pars,
yeah.
despite not really playing well, and kept himself in the tournament. It could have got ugly.
Yeah.
Really could have. The way, you know, Augusta was playing, it's just so easy to make a bogey here, bogey there, and all of a sudden you're 4 or 5 over. But, you know, to Ronis, to your point, they were interviewing afterwards, and he's got such great perspective, as you were talking about, Zabe, just perspective on life and, you know, what he's doing and all that stuff. But it really struck me. He said, you know, I'm going to go out there and, you know, I'm going to not be worried about result. I'm going to be worried about process. But I got to remind myself, I'm a dog. That's what he said.
Yeah,
and
I'm a dog and I can win this thing. I'm ready for
right.
this moment.
Good.
Yep.
That dog couldn't find a bone today. He hasn't made a birdie in 31 holes.
Yeah. I know, but he made a ton of 5-footers. I mean, ton of 5-footers.
And remember what he did in the Ryder Cup?
Yeah.
Yes.
He made such a clutch 6-footer. So, look, I'm rooting for Max Homa. I think there's something special about Scottie Scheffler, so I want to get this ball rolling so in my lifetime I can see some greatness. So that's why I want to see him win.
What do you mean in this lifetime? You just
yeah,
saw
see
Tiger.
Some more greatness. Let's say more greatness.
More
because
greatness.
Tiger.
No. I want to see Scheffler. Yeah, I want to see another roll. So I want to see Scheffler
okay.
go to 6 and 7 and 8 and 9.
Okay.
So let's get it rolling now.
All right. So first of all, I'm picking Scheffler, but I'm rooting for Homa. Let's go with who you're picking and then who you're rooting for.
I would pick Scheffler, and I'm rooting for Scheffler.
Okay.
At this
cool.
point.
Yeah, same. Picking Scheffler, rooting for Scheffler.
Okay, very good. That brings us to Ludvig Åberg. This dude, I mean, seriously, if it weren't for the one hiccup on 15 where he made bogey from just off the back, it's a two-shot swing right there. He's one shot off the lead. We said he's just young enough and blissfully clueless enough to maybe win this thing. What are his chances tomorrow?
They're good.
Yeah, he's 3 off the lead, not 1. But I would
he would have been 1.
Oh,
if
gotcha,
not 4.
Gotcha.
The two
if
strokes on the back
my,
of 15.
My second pick, Scheffler is my first pick, but I would pick Åberg. If you're going to tell me Scheffler's out of the picture, I'd pick
okay.
Åberg.
He's really talented. Good. I would like him to just simmer just a little bit longer, so when he wins, people recognize him as a close to a household name a little bit. So I'd like him to come in the top 2 or 3 in the Masters, and then the top 2 or 3 in the U.S. Open, then maybe win the Open Championship. I just want him to be known a little bit more by the general public before he
wins.
You
got it all planned out, Ronis.
I've been thinking a lot.
And then it was a festivus for the rest of us, for all the Bryson DeChambeau haters, because of the implosion that prompted the great Vern Lundquist to say, not only have the wheels fallen off, but the rims have too, which I'm not going to nitpick it and say
don't pick on it.
The wheels and the rims are the same thing.
Yeah.
But it was a great line. Well said. Then he holds out on 18. And it's
crazy.
Like, okay. He's 3 under, he's 4 back. I assume you're going to draw the line at him, right? There's 5
yes.
guys that have a shot.
That's correct.
I there's 1-2 under that I think has a shot. Maybe Shoffley, but I put the two unders in there in case.
That'd be Hogard, Shoffley, and Cam Davis. Hogard has a chance, you think, even though he blew up. Five straight bogeys. Talk about the choo-choo bogey train. He was riding it.
Of the twos, I think he has a chance. Okay. But, you know, most likely the twos aren't going to win.
Okay. So, DeChambeau, let's talk about his day. for those that are not fans, you had to laugh when he chunked it in the water on 15. That right there is just stone cold pressure. Because I know it was a tough shot, but you know the one thing you just can't do is to hit it short, and he fatted it.
Yeah, you know, a difficult situation. It's where the fans have been trampling all day long. It was a, you know, crazy shot that he tried to hook literally like 70 yards around those trees with a six iron. So, you know, it might have been a little moist still from underfoot, and I was pretty happy to see it.
Yeah, I mean, he was heading for bogey land, too, on 18. So, you know, if he makes bogey there, he is definitely out of it.
Yes.
You know, canning that from 77 yards, you know, made a big difference. But it was a joy. You know, I was rooting against him, but looking, you know, remembering back from the 65 the first day and from, you know, good play the second day, he was making putts. I mean, he was making 20-footers
right.
for birdie, you know, 6-footers for par, and he just didn't make any of them today. You know, so
it, well, he also hit some terrible first putts.
Yep. Yeah, the sixth putt on 16 when he, you know, receded all the way down to the bottom and he hit it 12 or 14 feet past.
Right.
Right.
You know, which, you know, and then you see Max Homa hit it to almost made it 2 more revolutions in it would have made it similar, but you know, slightly different putt.
Yeah.
So
all right.
I'm hoping that stays with him. You know, the putter stays cold and all of his crazy stuff just stays crazy. Right?
We didn't talk about him taking the sign out last night after the round. We had not either forgot it or didn't. I didn't see the asset until it came out. I didn't see the gif of him making a weird sweeping motion, waiting to hit up into number 3 as the players were leaving the green. And it dawned on me that I guess the reason I'm not so anti-DeChambeau is that he's not boring. And because of the business I'm in, I need guys to be interesting, even if they are certified weirdos, which he is. And so I kind of brush off some of the more annoying aspects of DeChambeau. He's a certified freak. So
it's
in that
like
regard,
the stock,
I don't hate him.
It's like the stock market. You what the brokers say, they'll take anything up or down. They just don't want it stagnant.
Flat. Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
So yeah, cool.
You know, it's interesting too, because you know, when the guys left to live, you know, all of the guys that most of the guys that left were the interesting people on the PGA Tour.
They hated or legends, right?
Right, negative or positive.
Right.
That, and we complained that the PGA Tour was left with a bunch of boring guys. Now, I think we found that Scheffler is not as boring as we thought. But, you know, it's interesting you phrase it that way, because at the majors, we get them all back together and we start seeing some of the weird stuff, you know? And we either still don't like it or we like it, but we have thoughts on it.
Yeah. I mean, I just really believe that the Live started as the Island of Misfit Toys, and they kind of just were a clown show, and they're showing that they kind of are. But they give you stories, right? Those kind of characters give you stories, and you do need those kind of characters to push the game forward.
Was there a
good
Greg Norman
bad.
Sighting today? Was he there?
He couldn't get a ticket.
Oh, boy. That whole Norman thing. I sent you guys last night. So apparently Fred Couples decided to tweak the nose of Norman and say, I can't believe it. They got 13 Live guys here. They all get 8 complimentary passes for friends and family by the tournament itself. Norman couldn't get one because Norman humble bragged about how, I bought a ticket from a broker. It was $3,000, but I had to pay the money because I wanted to support my guys. And it was Greg Norman Jr., Shark Jr.
Who I didn't even know existed. I didn't know there was a Greg Norman
right.
Jr.
Right. If he played golf, I must have missed his uneventful non-career. He claps back with, Fred, I'm glad we beat you in skills back in 89. And I'm thinking,
wow.
Was that a skills competition? You're really going there. And we I know. And then, you know, he basically said, you know, the point of it was he went through proper channels and was denied and wanted to not burden anybody else by asking for a pass. And then somebody
has no friends.
Well, I know. And then somebody clapped back saying, oh, so it was a stunt. You're confirming it. Yeah. Great.
Which it was.
Right, exactly. Yep. All right. So everyone else, who cares? Tiger. Let's talk Tiger real quick before I get to my main set piece about the day's golf and what we're looking at tomorrow. Tiger just seemed to start. I mean, he must be in pain, right? He didn't look as vibrant as he did the first two rounds, and he shot a very big number.
Well, I think what we thought after day one didn't complete, I think we were all thinking, man, tomorrow's going to be tough. He's got to play 23, 24 holes, and, you know, how's that going to work? And then last night when we were talking, we were so impressed with how well he played and how he just, you know, used his brain all the way around the golf course. But I think what we didn't count on is the 23, 24 holes didn't bother him yesterday. They bothered him today. Yeah. So it looked like his back was jacked up because he was really, you know, tender picking the ball out of the hole.
And I'll tell you, as going through the back issues, it really messes your swing up terribly because as you rotate back, you get some inflammation in there. And it's really, in all honesty, it's not that painful as you're playing the round of golf. It's later on. But when you're playing the round of golf, you get some swelling in the area. You get to the top of your backswing. You think you've completed your turn because the swelling has caused you to complete your turn, but you haven't. So therefore, your timing's all messed up, and you just can't get the club in the position. And I fought that for years and years and years. And so, look, if he finishes this tournament, it's a huge achievement. One, he made the cut. One, he played 4 days. And now we just see, you know, if there is still some lightning in the bottle somewhere. But he's got to play more.
Shot 82 today, 42-40.
It was ugly.
He had two birdies, but also two doubles, and didn't finish. Had four bogeys and then a par on 18 and just looked miserable. As of this taping, 10:15 p.m. on a Saturday night, he has not WD'd, which a lot of people
thought. And he said he won't. He said his whole team's going to work on him. He wants to play. He's not going to withdraw. We'll see, obviously, if the body doesn't let him. I saw the swing on 8. So he doubled number eight, and that's the only double of the tournament at 8
on eight,
so far.
8 is almost really hard to double.
He, the swing he made on his – I think it was his second shot – you could see there was a big problem. He didn't, to what you were saying, Rose, he didn't finish it on the way back, and he didn't finish it on the way through either.
Kind
of skanked one down, you know, down the fairway, but not even close to the green, and then, you know, flubbed his chip, and, you know, here comes a double.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the golf, and this was something I was sending out to various golf threads. I said, course is too long, greens are too fast, hashtag change my mind. And sure enough, I got the predictable responses from my golf nerd buddies, and they treated me as if I had sworn against Jesus Christ himself in the highest holy church in the land that I would dare say that the golf today was sloppy and pedestrian by Augusta standards. Now, of course, I watched every minute of it, and I'm going to watch every minute of it tomorrow because one of the guys in my thread said, why don't you go do more yard work and try not to burn down your property? And I'm like, okay, ha, ha, ha. Here's my point. Only two guys broke 70 today. The winds came down a lot. It was still a bit breezy, but I mean, we're talking from 30-mile gusts to maybe 10 to 15. The winds get cut in half, and you add only one other person that could break 70? That's not Augusta to me. There aren't eagles like there used to be on 13 and 15 because of the way they lengthened both 13, 15, the tee is lower. It's got to be just right. I mean, and the greens are so fast. I mean, the lip outs on 17, where the ball is moving at one half of an inch per second, and it just goes boing and lips out. I want the Masters to include the kind of volatility and surging guys that come from further back that make moves. One guy made a small move in Morikawa, shooting 69. Everyone else was hanging on by their fingertips. I can get that tournament in June, boys. It's called the U.S. Open. I don't want it or need it now. Change my mind.
I will not change your mind. I agree with you 100%. It'll be very important to see if the water is put on the golf course. The pins, 17 got out of hand, completely out of hand. And I believe that they're going to need to water the golf courses. But I will say those Saturday pin placements are probably the hardest of the tournament. There's a lot more funneling to the hole on Sunday. pin placements, especially holes like 16,
right,
17. There's a lot more of that. So that is something that I hope happens, but it starts with they have to put the water on the greens. If they don't, it is just a crisply piece of bacon.
Yeah, and I would say, I mean, it got crisp today. There's no question. I think the wind sped up the greens probably a little bit more than they were planning on. But I just totally disagree, Zabe. It was exciting. And whether it's exciting because they're making birdies and eagles, or they're exciting because they're making an unbelievable par, or someone's going backwards and, you know, we're following, you know, DeChambeau and rooting for him to go backwards. You know, and the leaderboard is unbelievable. And the winner's leader, well, 7 under. I don't need somebody to win the Masters at 16 under. I think 10 under is perfect. So I think we're right in the zone. There, you know, there's what, 8-10 people under par. I'm fine with that.
The leaderboard is always going to be great because they invite a small handful of guys. The scrubs you've never heard of don't qualify their way in. So the leaderboard is always going to be good on Sunday for the most part of the Masters. And I don't care about the number per se. I want movement. I want two-way movement. Nobody could climb up the leaderboard and get hot. The course was too hot, and it's too long. Like, 13. Yeah, we had Scottie Scheffler make an eagle. Hoo-ha. I remember the Masters when three or four guys made eagle. You know, 13 used to be the turbo button on Saturdays and Sundays at this event, and I loved it. They've taken the turbo out of it. I just think it, you know, they're so good with agronomy now. And one thing I noticed, I don't know about you guys, the course looked shinier and at times thirstier than I think I can ever recall. Normally, Augusta is lush, a perfect Pantone green. This year, it looks shiny, and shiny courses are scary because they're really, really slick and firm. It was okay. There was a few moments, but I didn't think it was a great day of golf.
Look, Augusta's greens are what protects it. It is the only thing that protects it. It's a green. So the steamroll effect and the layering effect of greens that are too firm and too fast, which I'll agree with you, Zabe, they're probably too firm and too fast, is one, the undulation that they have on those greens to protect from zones and angles and things like that are rendered insane because they're too fast. And now we have undulations that don't work at all. And then the getting up and down aspect of it is gone. So that layering effect of too fast, too firm really just changes the golf course into, I'm not going to say unplayable because it wasn't like it was unplayable.
No.
But it makes it less exciting.
Right. I just, see what tomorrow looks like. We'll see what tomorrow brings weather-wise and how much water they put on the greens. Yes.
And I would agree that the greens are fast and maybe got too fast today, but I don't think it's length. I mean, Morikawa reached 13 and 2. DeChambeau reached 13 and 2. The problem was they three putted both for pars, because you really had to be, you couldn't be past the hole on 13. So I don't think it's length. I mean, you think about all those holes. Those guys, they hit three woods off the tee.
Three woods all over the place.
Yeah, they hit three woods off the tee on the par fives.
Yeah.
You know,
which
so
par fives?
13 to get it around the corner, and 15.
Two.
Scheffler hit three wood off the tee on 15.
He did?
Really?
Yeah. No.
No, he hit driver on 15.
Did he?
Yeah, he hit driver.
I think they hit
one of them hit
13.
Three wood because they just wanted to take
a couple guys might have hit it up.
Max Homa. 13. Max Homa hit three wood off 15 because he didn't want to take, he didn't want to hit two because the green's so crispy,
right,
he can't hold it from 240 yards.
Right. I mean, look, Nicklaus once hit a 4-iron onto that green in 86 at 46 years old.
And Tiger hit a 9-iron.
Right.
Yeah.
So now you've got to be the longest of the long, and you're still mashing like a hybrid or a 7-wood or a 3-wood. By the way, did you know that Homa hit a 7-wood into 4 yesterday? Four yesterday.
It. But DeChambeau hit
a 7-wood.
Yeah, but Zabe, it's not. It wasn't the length. It was the ability to hold a normal club on the green.
Right.
And then if you miss the green, it wasn't worth it because you couldn't get up and down.
Yeah,
from
it's
around
not
the green,
length.
So,
the length is not the problem.
It's the greens.
Okay, well then, then half of my argument's correct. The greens are too fast.
Yeah, you're 50%.
Right. The length would be okay. All right. Yes. Well, anyway, again, people hear me say that, or they see my text, and they think I'm just being a hater, or I'm grumpy. I'm not grumpy. I'm calling balls and strikes here. I would like a little bit more Masters in my Masters, please, and this is not what I come for this tournament. We'll get this more of a siege mentality in June at the U.S. Open, which will be in Pinehurst, which will be interesting, but we'll get to that in due time. Okay, one last thought, and then we'll go around the horn for final thoughts. If Scheffler wins this thing and does it in convincing, if not dominating fashion, I'm starting to think about the Scheffler era we're moving into now with his second major. And as I look at Scheffler as a player, I think to myself, Ronis, look at how small and desperate some of the supposed stars of this game 5 hot minutes ago are starting to look. And I'm talking about Spieth, and I'm talking about JT, and I'm talking about my boy Rory, okay? Scheffler, right. All these guys who are stars, they look small, in one part because Scheffler's a big dude. But secondly, I know in their minds, they got to be thinking, damn, I thought I was pretty good. Look at this guy.
That guy's bigger, faster, stronger.
Right.
I outweighted the Tiger era, and now I'm going to be stuck in the Scotty era. And
I think
my window of opportunity just left.
Right. I think there's got to be a certain degree of panic that is starting to creep in the back
especially
of their
minds. If you're missing cuts at these.
Well, sure.
But
just from
saying,
a star standpoint, who cares about Justin Thomas after Sunday if Scheffler wins again? Right?
Right.
Yep. Well, he's just considered a train wreck at this point. So was Spieth. Fowler was heading in that direction. He at least, with him and his binky survived decently today and shot one under.
And it could get
worse. But he's irrelevant. He's Mr. Irrelevant.
Well, it could get worse if they try to chase. Remember when Rory chased distance that one off season? You're like, really?
Yeah.
Because of DeChambeau.
I said that yesterday, that these chassis are really small. So to get everything out of it, they got to swing it full force. And eventually they blow a gasket.
Not 6'3" Scheffler.
Right. Not, and you know
big
who
rig.
Also held the one for a while was Dustin Johnson. And he was a big rig.
Yeah. And Dustin Johnson has $100 million of Saudi money in the bank, 2 majors, and he's done. He's done
Doesn't
trying.
Care.
He's got a family. It's been great. Life is good. I'm done. I'm not digging in to try to compete with this guy at this point. No way.
And I think Scheffler is still ignorant enough right now to think that he can chase some ghosts out there and records. So he's going to keep plugging away.
Oh, yeah.
But you look at all these
he's
guys.
He's got a great perspective, too.
The fitness. Yeah. Like, Zabe, you sent that picture of the Rat Pack there on their boys' trip.
The Baker Bay Boys.
It was not a muscle on any of their bodies.
No,
now they're all trim with the and they ruin their games.
Well, I don't know if they all worked out. I mean, it was Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Smiley Kaufman, and Rick Flowers. I wouldn't say that those guys were super gym guys, but I guess the point is, Scheffler is cut differently, and he's about the right things, too. That's another phrase I like in sports. Like, Matt LaFleur said about Jordan Love, he's like, he's a really good player, but he's about the right things. Yeah. Scheffler is about the right things, and the game burns in him. Unlike, say, a Koepka, who plays the game because he washed out in baseball and he's good at it and he's fairly athletic. Scheffler, the game burns in him, and he's not going to throw his whole career away on SEAL team training,
right?
A wild affair with Perkins waitresses,
right?
What else? Car crashes, Percocet,
Vicodin, and whatever that sleeping pill is.
We're heading into what could be a fascinating shift change in golf.
But that's why he needs to get number two, as Ronis was saying. We got to start that meter counting.
Yeah, we got to get going.
We're still at one. It doesn't mean
And I'm telling you what, he's not getting another one for the rest of the year because he's got the baby on the way. It's too big a distraction.
Oh, please.
And good for him. Okay. But he's not getting another one.
Okay. Enough of you hating on Scheffler. Final thoughts. Gould?
I love him.
Gould, go ahead. Doesn't sound
you know
like
what?
It.
I'm struck by looking at the leaderboard, and it's minus Hovland, but we've got quite a Scandinavian uprising here.
Oberg and Hogard, the two rookies at the Ryder Cup.
Yep.
And they are going to be a problem for a long time out there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
like you mean said, a lot of guys with circles or dots over their letters? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, and I don't think, you know, it's great for the Ryder Cup in terms of, you know, being, you know, competitive, although they kick our ass without the good players anyway. But, yeah, it's striking to see. And that's, you know, Hovland obviously was not playing well, and I still picked him for my team, which was dumb. But
Hovland has ejected from next week's Heritage.
He needs a mental break, I think.
Well, which is fine, yes. And he'll have to use one of those coupons from the tour.
Yeah.
You know, to get out of his.
He needs a metal detector to go find his game. He's totally lost.
Okay. So anyway, complete your thought there, Gould, and then Ronis, you've got.
Yeah, no, just one. I was just saying, just making aware of this Scandinavian. When did that area of the country or area of the world become a golf hotbed? It's pretty impressive.
I mean, hotbed, their seasons are so short, and the kids over there play all kinds of sports, and they do a lot of Nordic sports as well, downhill skiing, cross country, speed skating and whatnot. But I have noticed the Nordic countries, Norway, Denmark, Sweden, etc., they apply like tested systems with their junior players to develop their players. Have you noticed that, Ronis? That the Nordic countries, they are methodical in these programs they implement for their juniors, and they really lean into them. And that helps produce some incredible talent.
Yeah, and look, they don't have any mandatory military service and things like that. So,
like
I
Korea.
Mean, it helps. Yeah, so they can send them to the Americas in a hurry. And
by the way, if Korea schools. Ever does away with this mandatory military for the men, it's over for the tour.
Yeah, the tours.
You get these these Korean boys out there early on. It's like, look out now. They're so stunted by, okay, I'm great at golf. Now I got to wait, was it 4 years, 5 years, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Get out tough. My thing is, I want to see the Roars. I want to see Eagles. I want to see all that stuff on the back nine, and I want to see Scheffler win. So, you know, I certainly want to see an American win first, and Scheffler will propel the game forward just a little bit, keep people again excited, and keep some viewers. But we have to have someone win the Masters, as opposed to someone lose the Masters.
Okay, couple of things real quick. Did you know, and I had to check this multiple times because it sounded like it couldn't be real, that Vijay Singh and Scottie Scheffler have hit the exact same number of greens in regulation through three rounds?
Did not know
Yikes.
That.
Yikes.
Just try to chew on that.
Didn't he shoot 82 today?
He might have.
I think he tied Tiger. There was three of the old guys all shot 82, I think I saw.
That's incredible.
It is incredible, which tells
That's
you that
incredible.
Which tells you that Vijay, A, can't scramble, or his putting really stinks at this point. But honestly, the next Vijay shot I hit will be the next Vijay shot I see hit will be the first one I see hit for this tournament.
No interest in him.
Okay. Then there's this. Jason Day confirmed after the round today that Augusta National requested he remove that gaudy Malbon sweater vest, which had the giant letters on it, and he complied. They said, we want it to be about the tournament, about the Masters, and that sweater is a bit too much. That is
It's a shame, too, because I just got him in the shop.
Along with the 3D-printed irons from
Hey, Zabe, I got another did you know for you.
Okay.
Did you know that the guys that miss the cut at Augusta make a check?
10 grand.
Yeah.
Saw that, yeah.
Well, 10 grand. It used to be five. It's gone up.
Right. We feel it would be unseemly to send you away with just a trinket from our pro shop. So here's 10 grand. I think the Masters guys stuff it into the front shirt pocket of the players on their way to the parking lot.
Yeah. Help pay for the rental house.
The best tweet, though, about the Malbon sweater vest was from an account called Antifaldo. And it says, did you order the code thread, Ridley? You're goddamn right I did.
That's fantastic.
That is really good right there.
That is great.
Zach Johnson has denied the clearly seen on video F-bomb to the patrons after his triple bogey on 12. And guess what? It does not make him look any better.
No.
No, it is what it is. I mean,
it's
just
caught on video.
Don't deny. Everyone lies these days. Just admit to it and say, I'm sorry. Can anyone say I'm sorry?
No.
I mean, it's a mistake.
You would think that he would say, okay, you know what? I can be better. I will be better.
I was frustrated. I was talking to my caddy too, but, you know.
The fact that I'm a terrible Ryder Cup captain and everyone hates me now. And everyone says something to me everywhere I go. It just got to me, and I had to tell them to F off.
Here.
All right, I'm sorry. It's just gotten to me.
I'm gonna play the bite for you, and you can judge for yourself.
Understand the situation at all. What are they saying that I did or said or...
It's being reported that you swore at some of the patrons.
That I swore at the patrons? That's laughable. That's completely laughable. I can't hear the patrons. Number one. Number two.
Oh, what happened to your ears? You can't hear them, huh? Okay.
I just made a triple bogey on the 12th hole.
Don't care.
That evidently is going to make me miss the cut, which...
Yes, you did.
At the time, I kind of knew it was pretty sensitive in the sense that I needed to keep making pars. If I've said anything, which I'm not going to deny, especially if it's on camera.
Yeah. If it wasn't on camera, I'd be lying right now.
One, I apologize. And two, is fully directed towards myself.
So he says he said it.
Entirely. Yes. Because I can't hear anything behind me.
Yeah, I can't hear anything behind me. Yeah, that's not how sound works, okay? People hear things behind them all the time. You hear a stick crack in the woods at night, and you're like, whoa! What's out
there?
Oh,
not if it's behind you, Zade.
No, right.
You never hear things behind you. Like if someone calls your name and you're walking, you just keep walking. There's no possible way. You could have to be some sort of special creature.
People are roasting this response, and deservedly so.
Classic.
Yeah. Classic and classless.
Well deserved.
There is a lottery Monday for the media in which a small handful, I don't know how many it is, they don't really disclose that, of the hundreds and hundreds and thousands that cover this event in one shape, way, shape, or form, get picked to play the course on Monday morning. Now, they got to play the white tees, the members' tees. Of course, you're not going to want them playing from the backs. And they don't even cut the greens. So, you know, you're still playing Augusta. It's not bad, but I mean, Anyway, get this. The GM of WIS-TV, Robbie Thomas, tweeted out, golfers, grit your teeth and try to muster your most sincere congrats for WIS-TV's Julia W. She just learned she's been selected to play a round of golf at Augusta National Golf Club on Monday. Okay, fine, right? That's great. This is the kicker. It will be the first round of golf she's played all year, so what? It's probably... she's ever played in her life.
Oh, I felt that coming, and it hurt. And it hurt bad.
Okay, Zabe, so there's your next question.
Yep.
If you could play Augusta, would you want to play with the news reporter who has never played a round of golf, or would you rather have tickets for life?
Tickets
or whatever
for life.
You come up with for those questions, which are great, but here we go. I mean,
that's
and the answer is still yes, Ronis. The answer is still yes.
I still have to play with that stinking reporter who'd be like, what do I hit here?
Right.
Just get in the cart.
All right. Great run tonight, boys. Thank you for being patient with me. We are not going to do a post-round wrap after tomorrow's final round because we will tape the Capital Golf Gang with Buddy in store on Tuesday at Golfdom. And I want Buddy's take on the whole thing, and we need a day to absorb. So you'll have to wait a couple days. But thanks for listening. Emergency Pod over. Enjoy the tournament tomorrow, boys. We'll be texting.
See you, boys.
Have a great night.